Hello and welcome to another episode of Django Chat, a weekly podcast on the Django web framework. I'm Will Vincent, joined as always by Carlton Gibson. Hello, Carlton.
Hello, Will. How are you?
I'm good. And this week we were going to try something different. I thought we could talk about how it feels to be a Django expert, or at least to be perceived as a Django expert, because you and I both, with our various hats, are looked to by some folks as knowing what Django is all about. And I thought we could talk about the reality of what that feels like, to give beginners a sense of where this all leads, and maybe fellow experts who don't feel like experts, maybe they'll agree with some of the points.
Yeah, because that's the biggest bit, right? Is fellow experts who don't feel like experts. It's like there's two sides of it. One is when you talk about beginners. I remember being a Django beginner and looking up to people who were like, you know, maintaining the framework, and they were superheroes. And you know, years later, I suddenly find myself in the role of Django Fellow, and I maintain the framework, but I don't feel like a superhero at all. I feel like, I don't know what I'm doing 90% of the time.
Right. Well, I think there's two things. I think one is programming is just not a field where you ever feel like you have mastery. It's not, and there are a lot of fields that are where you're doing, you know, I don't know, Jiro making sushi, right? After 5 years of making the same, you know, rice every day, he can have a high degree of confidence. He knows what's going on. But programming is just not a field like that. It's infinitely complex. And the more you know, the more you realize what you don't know. So the imposter syndrome is you don't spend time on what you know, because you can just automate it. So it's not, or even a surgeon, you know, a surgeon, I'm in Boston, a number of my friends are surgeons. Surgery does change quite a bit, but you're doing the same procedure 8 times a day for 20 years. You know, you get a high degree. I mean, surgeons are confident and, you know, you could say cocky, because they're doing the same thing again and again and again.
There's that joke, what's the difference between God and a surgeon? God never thought he was a surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of things I can say about the medical profession. But yeah. So programming is just not one of those fields. I would say that, and I this comes to mind because I'm increasingly asked questions by people who, in some cases, I think know more about Django than I do, and yet they're looking to me as an expert on Django. And I do know some stuff, but I'm highly aware of all the things I don't know, in part because I get a lot of great questions. And so I thought we could talk about how did that journey from beginner to where we are now? And then we can talk about how it feels now, because I think it's more that I know what I don't know, but I also have the confidence and the scar tissue to be like, I could figure basically anything out that's web related. Yeah. I mean, this isn't quantum computing. So
no.
And I kind of enjoy the hard challenges now because I've seen a lot of the stuff at least once. So I kind of like the super tricky things.
Yeah, I think there's something in that. Is that a couple of points that you made that will come back. But this idea that you could take whatever problem came up, you'd be able to resolve it. I think that's where after you've got the years of experience, it's like, I haven't seen this exact problem before, but I've seen problems like it, and I could... You know, if you gave me long enough, you gave me the budget, I could take that.
You don't have
on.
That total fear of, I don't know anything, people are going to find me out and I'll never solve it. Because you've gone through that loop so many times that it's like, well, I'll get there. It may take a day, it may take a week, it may take a month. But, you know, almost everything we're dealing with is a solved problem. I just don't know where it's been solved.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, there's no... There comes... I remember being at a talk at some... iOS development conference, and one of the people giving the talk was a very experienced developer, and they were like, look, ultimately there is no problem that I cannot solve, because, you know, they get down to, there'd be some work, they get right down to the debugger and they'd be patching a function in C, and it doesn't get any lower level than that. And now in the web, you're not really doing that very, you know, you don't get down that low. You very rarely do you even find a bug in Python that you have to work around.
Though you found one.
Yes,
just
my
the other
first.
Day.
So 15
we'll put
years
that in the show
in or something,
notes.
I've got
that.
My first ever bug filed in Python. So, you know, I've been using Django for all this time and finally found a bug for Windows 3.8, Python 3.8.0. There's a bug with async IO, blah, 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 which will be fixed in 3.8.1. Because I reported it was fixed the same day. It was amazing. But,
you know,
in all that time, I found one bug in Python. Actual bug.
Yeah. You found a few Django bugs, though, over the years.
Well, yeah, but Django's like...
No, I know, built upon Python.
Yeah, built upon it. So like the higher things up. So your code is the most likely place where there's some bugs, but not your code, but one's code, is the most likely place where there's some bugs because it's built on top of everything else and it's not as tested and it's not as used. And then below that Django and then below that Python. But normally you look in your own code for the bug, right?
Right. Well, and that is the case that it's... I guess it's the confidence to know that you can solve anything, and you just sort of go, I mean, basically you kind of go, F you, computer, I will figure this out.
Yeah, and you remember.
There's no throwing the hands up. We're more used to, well, like yesterday I was dealing, you and I, there's something, an API permissions thing, and, you know, a reader flagged it. I looked at it for an hour. I couldn't figure it out. I asked you, you know, on a quick look, you couldn't figure it out either. At some point it will be solved. It's probably something silly, but I don't know the answer right now.
Well, sure,
but I'm also
yeah,
not
sure, getting
beating myself up about it because
yeah.
I'll go take a walk. I'll sleep on it. It's solvable, right?
Yeah.
But when I was a beginner, you know, I think the difference is how you get stuck. So for me now, I don't get like stuck for a week on something because I have more. I can fix things faster, but also I know where to ask and how to ask when I'm truly stuck. So I remember being stuck on just like installation things with Django. Or, I don't know, Solr, you know, all these things that don't even seem like what I'm actually trying to do that just are path variables when I was really starting out.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, which still oh my God, path variables kind of freak me out.
Environment variables and all the rest of this stuff. Like Bash, you have to be a Bash expert before you can even get going. This is back to episode one, right? What is Django and how hard it is to learn Django?
Well, but I think part of it is knowing what a good faith effort is on my part before I... you know, put up the white flag and ask for help. So like, for example, on this specific thing, I'm going to give it a couple days. I'm going to look at it and then I'm going to ask people because I know someone will be able to quickly spot it. But I think it's having the reps to kind of know when I've done what I can and I need to ask for help versus, you know, because no one wants to like ask for help all the time. Like if someone's asking me for stuff, I don't want someone to ask me something because they haven't made an effort. Right, it's clear to me when someone hasn't made an effort, and you know I'm better at Googling than they are probably. But it's sort of like where is that line between I've made an effort and I can explain? You know, I think this is the problem. It's something like this. You know, that kind of tees up if I'm going to ask someone else. That's better than just being like this code doesn't work. Which you know I get that from people, and that's fine if I sometimes don't respond. But
yeah.
You know, so anyway, so asking for help is a skill that comes along with being an expert.
But phrasing your question as well, knowing where to look. So, you know, you're trying to run, let's say you're trying to run a WebSockets app on top of channels using Redis with, you know, some
grocery bag of
front end CDN in front of you, you know, a load balancer and a web server. And, you know, and then you put up on the channels repo, oh, this isn't working. You know, and I see this in the console, and it's like, this isn't addressable. This isn't a bug I can help you with. So it's knowing how to ask questions as well, and really trying to pin it down. And that's something that beginners can focus on: is have I explained this so that somebody can reproduce it, so that somebody's got a chance of helping me?
Right, and putting the logs, putting the error messages, saying this is my thesis. This is kind of. You know, my logic to get to this point. Yeah, because nobody wants to just be tossed a whole bunch of code and have to, you know, that's work. That's not fun for anyone. So that's a big part of it. I mean, what else? I think it's also like, how do you get to this point? I mean, I'm, you know, over my career as an educator, I want to eventually be able to show people how to build probably like 10 different apps with Django, DRF and other things, because I do think you just need the reps to see the patterns, to see that everything is CRUD. And then you reach this point where it becomes a little, it's not that it becomes a little bit boring, but I think it's like any job after every 5-6 years, you have to reinvent why it's interesting for you. And coding is especially like that because it's, you know, we've talked about this in other episodes. I feel like you and I could build a prototype of almost any site quite quickly, but we know what it takes to make it in production. And, you know, that's a big step function leap. And so that makes it maybe less exciting to just build stuff because you go, oh God, I'm gonna have to maintain it and there's bugs and
you know, and a lot of it's the UI, it's not the list view or the detail view that you built, and then you get, oh, I get a bit bored building a Django detail view. Well, you know, okay, is there a different level of abstraction you can work at? Can you the why is it repetitive? Like, in that case, can you create a class which, you know, encapsulates that what's repeated and then gives you a higher level pattern?
Right. And that's what I think, it's these subtle things when I see that give me pleasure and meaning in code now, right? Where I see a problem and if there's an elegant solution to it, even if it's, especially in some ways, if it's just a tiny little thing, I go, oh, that's clever. I like that. Even if it's some iteration of, you know, a detail view and a permission or something, or list view, because, and this is a talk maybe next year I'll give, I mean, everything is CRUD, and then you have list view, detail view, and sprinkle an auth, and that's like big picture, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to dive deeper, but I think maybe a couple years in you go, okay, it is all CRUD with a foreign key and list view, detail view. You know, and then it's just sort of waterfalls from there. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, and so part of that too is when people ask me, sometimes they're stuck on a work thing, or they want to work on, or they have an idea for an app, and they're getting all these complicated layers of permissions and this and that. And I'm like, but could you just use a detail view, right? Or someone was asking me something about a hospital app with all these different permissions and logins and that. And I was like, well, could you just use login? And if the login doesn't work, they go to sign up. Like, I think that would work.
Yeah, right.
So you know, you come full circle on the simplicity.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah. So what's the episode about? The episode's about being an expert. Yeah, and it's learning where the patterns are, right? So, oh, it is just a detail view here, and oh, if I just use this permission, you know, if I just use the stuff that Django provides for like user passes test or something to control the access here, that'll work. That'll do.
Well, there's that saying that, you know, like a truly expert programmer, or there's some like graphic of, you know, given a problem, like a beginner will just like dive in, intermediate person will, I don't know, start Stack Overflowing, and like a true programmer will sit back, go for a walk, think about it, and be like, I've seen this before, and just, you know, kind of nail it.
Yeah, yeah.
Without getting so busy in the weeds. But it is that pattern recognition. And I think, I mean, that's what's fun. I mean, I guess that is sort of what does it feel like to be an expert, assuming either of us is an expert. It's seeing the patterns and going, yeah, I've seen this before. I see this as a flavor of something common. Because again, if it seems brand new to you, it's not. It's just you don't have the context. This is why algorithms are so fun, actually. I'm probably going to write it. I've sort of half written an algorithms book, because I find algorithms fascinating in that they're taught when you have no context, like your second undergraduate course, and you're kind of like just memorize them and repeat it. But then as a professional, you go, oh my God, like these are so useful if you know that they're there and can reach for it, because, you know, whatever performance thing you're trying to do, it's probably an algorithm question, but you need to kind of know the algorithms, but you need that mix of seeing the problems and then knowing there's a whole dictionary of answers out there to use.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So I am constantly reading computer science books. Have been for a decade, but when I started, it was all like the Bash cookbook and classic shell scripting and all these things. And these days it's, you know, mathematics books or algorithms books or data structures books or, you know, these kind of things. Why? Because they're dry. They're really dry. And, yeah. You know, but they help me get to sleep. So anyway, but the point is that those things,
I thought that's what Aristotle and the original Greek was for.
Well, exactly. That kind of thing as well. But, those kind of texts are the ones that have the really transferable value. But it's only, you know, 10, 15 years in that it's like, yeah, okay, I really like reading those sorts of things. When I started, you know, pick up an algorithm book, it's like, this is totally meaningless to me. Because I was too busy trying to just wire some stuff together.
Right.
To ever think about the structure or is there a simpler implementation or, you know, the more interesting stuff.
Yeah. Well, I strongly feel it. I mean, I am going to publish this book at some point. I don't think it doesn't have to be that way. Cause I think you don't have to make it a pure applied math book, which is what, you know, they are and makes sense 15 years in. What you really want is you want sort of a quick guide and a sense of understanding, oh, this would be served by a greedy algorithm. This would be dynamic. This is, you know, to sort of be able to look at a problem and understand what bucket it falls into, and then you can dive in and find the right one. I think that's the biggest takeaway beyond knowing that there's a ton of algorithms. I mean, for example, like when I explain algorithms to non-programmers, I usually put it in the context of, so there's searching and sorting algorithms. But at the end of the day, you almost always want to get to a binary search. So it's really all about sorting algorithms, I would say. Which I don't.
I've never heard anyone say it like that.
But okay. My take is that it's basically all about sorting. And then what's really cool is you have comparison sorts and you have non-comparison sorts. So you say, well, if I don't have to be 100% correct, I can be, you know, a multiple faster in my sorting. So it's like, well, do I, you know, so you can ask sort of the architecture questions of like, well, is speed more important or is accuracy more important? What are the trade-offs? And that's kind of what I would like to be able to get beginners thinking like that, even if they don't have all the math and everything memorized. Because that's how you and I would think about something, right? So it is all trade-offs, right? We say it all depends.
It all depends, yeah.
But how do you get to that point where you can make a good decision?
Right, but I think, this is where you do need just an amount of exposure. So,
yeah,
you know, for instance, I don't know, the design patterns books. OLP has sort of fallen out of fashion from when I started, but, you know, it was always worth as a junior sort of slogging through the design patterns book or slogging through the refactoring book in order to give yourself a vocabulary to talk with. And then you'd come up to a problem and be like, oh, this is a bit like the composite pattern. And then it would give you something to go and look up and it would give you a solution. You'd be like, okay, I can model it like that. And it may not have been the best software in the world, but it gave you an answer. And the same with some algorithms. If you know some algorithms or you know, if you're a beginner, the algorithms aren't the place to look. The place to go and read is the standard library. Manual and just go through each of the modules and sort of have a look and see what functions are available. There is a great book, what's it called? The Python Standard Library by Example. It was Python Module of the Week was the blog that it was originally based off, and
it
became
yes.
a book, Python Standard Library by Example. It's a great book. And it's a really good way of learning some Python and to see what's available. And all of a sudden it's, oh, you know, I need to do this. Oh, well, look, there's a pretty print module and, you know, you can use it to pretty print. Or there's a diff module and you'd never even know to reach for it.
How do you know to reach for it? Like, let me give you an example. So I come from a liberal arts family and my family, people read the dictionary for fun. You know, so what you're describing of going through the Python like standard library, that's like reading the dictionary for fun. I mean, I read the dictionary for fun. Honestly, I don't read the Python standard library for fun as much, but it is a similar thing. I think the question is more, you know, okay, if you're not already wired for that, usually it's in the context of there's some problem that comes up. Maybe it's around time. And then how do you get to the right resource? You know, this is where, because time is complicated. Python has some nice packages for it. But probably what you're going to do if you're a beginner is you're just going to go on Google, you're going to find a Medium post or something else or Stack Overflow that gives you some code that sort of kind of works, and you're not going to understand it, and it may not be the right solution, but it's like a Band-Aid, and then you move on. And I think that's fine as a learning tool, but I guess we would encourage people to like go a little bit deeper, like see if there's a built-in thing in the language, see how it's created.
Yeah, at some point you've got to fill in the gaps, right? You can Google, you can find a thing, you can copy it off Stack Overflow, paste it in, and you can do that 50, 100 times, and you're getting there, you're learning stuff. But at some point you've got to fill in the gaps. So this is where things like, you know, if you're talking about Python, there's a book, Fluent Python, which is super, you know.
Amazing.
And it's massive. It's like 1,000 pages. And I read it on my mobile phone I just knew it was taking a long time, you know, but I was long. I was on
I have bus. It. I have it. Yeah. It's a
But I was taking long bus journeys and I was reading it. It took me months, you know. Okay, fine. But I was learning loads of really cool stuff. Like, interesting, interesting, interesting. And then I saw it in the physical copy and it's like, wow, that's a doorstop. But it's such a good book because it kind of fills in the background of everything you need to know. And then when you come out of it, there's another couple. I mean, Fluent Python was one. There was another one that
There's Effective Python. I mean, I have actually a blog post on what I think are the best Python books we'll link to. There's Python Cookbook.
Yeah, which like,
Learning Python, that's the Mark Lutz. I mean, I would say for beginning Python, to me, the top ones are the Python Crash Course and Automate the Boring Stuff. There's other ones. Those are the two kind of top ones. And then if the next step up, I would say it's Fluent Python and the Effective Python by Brett Slatkin is very concise, but just kind of mind-blowing in its quality.
Okay, I'm ready.
But, you know, the thing is there's only so many non-applied books that you can read. You kind of need to balance, you know, okay, here's the theory, and then here's, let's build an Instagram clone in Python and Django and sort of apply and pick things up. I mean, this is what I think about as an educator. I think about getting someone there fast and then getting someone there. You know, I almost want to write a book that's like, I could do a whole book on a blog app where it's just like chapter one, basic version, chapter two, like you have 10 chapters and each time do it differently from scratch with more complexity, you know, sanitize inputs with bleach, do this, do that. But I think you kind of need, it needs to feel familiar before, because if I just gave a complicated solution, it wouldn't have any context for someone.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. You've got to, like, not Aristotle's got this line, knowledge has to be worked into the living structure of the mind. And that's exactly it for programming. You can't just pick up the, you know, the advanced solution and understand it. That's the trouble with, like, the Django cookie cutter type project, starter projects. Unless you are already there, they're too big, they're too all-encompassing. You can't grasp what's going on. And even if you do grasp, it's probably got lots of things that you don't want that you're not entirely sure how to cut out. And
yeah, well, and this is, you know, coming to, you know, first principles and simplicity as you advance in your career. I mean, I see more and more, just a basic authentication flow. I could teach it five different ways, and it might be the most beneficial thing to do that. Like, let's just keep doing it a little bit more complex or a little bit different each time. Same thing with a CRUD app. It's, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, this is the mindset that you and I have, you know, CRUD app. It's like, okay, what's the very first thing I think about? It's like, well, okay, what's the schema? Get the models right. And then, okay, where's my list view? Where's my detail view? Is there anything kind of tricky I need to do to get context data, save, you know, maybe not. And then, you know, toss in the templates, the URLs, and good to go. But I can say that because I don't worry about, well, how do I set up Postgres? How do I configure my app structure? You know, all these little details. I guess it's the details that I view as just very downstream from, you know, the schema and the architecture side. But you can't really get there until you've done it a bunch of times.
Yeah, and all that stuff, that's where the difficulty is. It's like, you know, a beginner can start off, they can create a model, they can, you know, they might go a bit slower, but they'll get all there. And then there comes a point where the accumulated knowledge that you have to get this thing actually production worthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is just too much. And that just takes time. And that's just time on the coalface.
Right. And it's frustrating that it's not, there aren't more resources on it. And I kind of understand why, because I mean, I wrote an entire book on this, Django for Professionals, but it could be 10 times as long. As it is, it's almost 400 pages. You know, there's a lot of sections where I sort of take you as far as I can go and then say, well, and here's where to go further. But I guess it's that 80-20. I mean, in that book, anyways, I tried to give you the 80 and show you where the 20 is. It's, I don't know, it's deciding how much you want to polish the rock that is your app.
Yeah, and also for something like a book, if you want, there's no point going all the way to the complete finished thing, because that stuff changes. Whereas if you stick to the core stuff, which is relatively stable, it's like, okay, this is going to be more or less the same in, you know, a year, 2 years time. Whereas if you go right to the thing, it's like, oh, but that's not the same.
Right. Well, and this is why the, you know, foundational stuff becomes more and more appealing, you know, all the way to like just pure applied math. I mean, things that don't change, that are, I don't know, eternal, have more appeal.
Yeah, exactly. So which am I going to learn? Am I going to spend time learning the latest framework, or am I going to spend time learning computer science fundamentals, or, you know, programming language fundamentals? It's always going to be programming language fundamentals, because that new framework will have disappeared by the time.
Yeah,
you know. And but whereas those fundamentals, they haven't changed ever.
Right, but I think the problem, the way it's taught, in my opinion, is that they give you all the what you and I excited about, they give that to you in your first like three or four courses, and you have no context for it. And it's a little bit in one ear, out the other. Whereas I think there should be some sort of mix, and actually what happens is that you have a lot of people who in computer science programs, half the, you know, an undergraduate level, half the folks have spent a number of years building CRUD apps and whatever, and they have a little bit of the context. So they can see how valuable it is. They have that repetition, and then half are true beginners. And it's just like, what is this? So, you know, as a teacher, you know, you have to balance both those, which is hard. But I'm a big fan of context and theory together.
Well, I just wanted to raise one more thing, right? Because you talked at the beginning, and this just ties back with what you were saying. You talked at the beginning about how it feels, and how beginners feel, and how experts are more.
Yeah, it feels the same.
but how experts perhaps are more realistic about what they know, maybe. And there's this thing that I was just looking up. It's the Dreyfus model of skill acquisition, where you start as a novice, then you move to an advanced beginner, and then you become competent and proficient, and finally an expert. And one thing that there is at the beginning of that, of, you know, the novice advanced beginner stage, is you perhaps think that you're more advanced than you really are. And I think, you know, once you get to a certain point, you start to realize how little you do know. And at that point, you're going to be more successful, just because you don't plow through blindly. You're more kind of aware.
Right. I mean, I've seen that, you know, you'll see tweets and stuff that's, you know, a year or two in, it's like, I don't know anything. 5 years in, I know everything. And then 10 years, the rest of your career, it's like, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. But I guess I just want to, for beginners, I want to say that it's a constant beginner mindset profession. It's just the challenges change a bit. And the things that excite you, you know, things that excite me, it's not building a prototype of something, because I know I can do that. It's these more foundational things are much more interesting, but they certainly wouldn't have been when I was starting out. And it's ultimately this knowledge, as you said, of that, you know, expert, almost anything we're dealing with can be solved, right? And especially the older I get, you know, life is not like that. So it's sort of nice that code is like that, that there is some sort of solution.
But like, yeah, but to keep this, there's this great book that I recommend to everyone called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And it's about keeping the mind of the beginner, keeping open, keeping, you know, aware of not being self-satisfied that you're there. And for me, coding at its best is, you know, a very Zen experience in that way, because it's like, yeah, I'm really pushing my limits constantly. And it's an ongoing challenge, and it's an ongoing practice, you know, like Tai Chi or like tea pouring or like calligraphy or like any of these other arts that they practice in the Eastern tradition. So, you know, it's kind of programming as meditation, you know?
Yeah. let go of it all. We don't know anything. I guess last point I would say is I find that, you know, what is it like being, I'm almost 40 now. I mean, you're 40, what, 40, 41?
42 next month.
42. Well, you're 41. I'll use a doctor example, right? So doctors are highly educated, but they're kind of used to knowing what they're talking about. And it's interesting to see how, I feel like programming keeps my mind pretty plastic, in that I'm constantly being humbled. I constantly have a beginner mindset. I just don't have any laurels to rest on. I feel like I'm only as good as my next code, and maybe not doctors, but that's unusual as far as professions. But I think it's, you know, I appreciate the challenge, because it does, it keeps me kind of childlike, right? It keeps me constantly frustrated, but also engaged and interested in a way that other careers, at least for me, I would be bored and, I don't know, calcify a little bit, I think.
Yeah, no, exactly. For me, that's the appeal.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that's helpful for people. A little bit of a different episode, but I think I wish I had heard something like that when I was starting out. So if it resonates, let us know at Chat Django on Twitter. We're at djangochat.com, and we'll see you all next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.